Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days. Jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. Especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We're here for you Monday through Friday to be part of your daily routine. Thanks for making us part of it. We're the Raining Jays, John Corrales, Jay King. This is the Wednesday show. Celtics coming off of a disappointing loss, another one, to the Clippers, after which Isaiah Thomas made some public comments about Brad Stevens' substitutions. So, Jay King joining me here with, let's just dive right into it. That's going to be the topic for today. So, he did it again. He comes out. He says, this loss is on everybody. It's on us, the coaching staff, everybody in the locker room. This isn't a time to be experimenting. So, you were there. Let's get your take, the scene, the context, everything.
So, it was pretty interesting, actually, because he answered a ton of questions and didn't say anything about the lineups. And then finally was asked about his frustration. And like he was distraught in the locker room. He was like towel over his head. Everybody else had already changed, taken a shower, everything. And he was sitting there in his jersey, towel over his head, venting to the strength coach Brian Dew about something. And it was very clear he took the loss very differently than he normally takes losses. So once he was asked about that level of frustration, he went into this answer, and the last thing he said was, you can't be experimenting in game 63, even though it was actually game 64, but whatever. And so, like, it wasn't like he was dying to share it, but it seemed like finally he decided to share that. And, I mean, here are the two things. One, I think he was right. The lineups were strange. The one lineup with Rozier, Smart, Brown, Young, and Mickey, which had never been used all season, was a disaster, and I think most people could have predicted that wouldn't have gone too well. Not everybody would have predicted that Jamal Crawford would go as bonkers as he did, and obviously things went as badly as they could have gone for the Celtics, but that was not a good lineup to begin with. And then the one with Jay Crowder at center against DeAndre Jordan, like, just kind of a bizarre decision. So I mean, you understand where Isaiah Thomas is coming from. Obviously he shouldn't have said it. like those are things you have conversations with Brad Stevens about, and you talk to him about, and you don't want to throw, because you're not just throwing your coach under the bus, you're throwing your teammates who are the young guys in those lineups under the bus too. So obviously, best case scenario, he wouldn't have said that at all. But we've seen this a lot of times with this Celtics team. After losses, and especially after disappointing losses where they throw away leads or whatever, these guys are really competitive and really reactive. And sometimes their minds being in the right place leads them to the wrong place. And I think that's kind of what happened with Isaiah. He should have kept it to himself. But instead, we get some fodder for the podcast.
Yeah, I guess. And the question, I suppose, is how often is he going to do this before it becomes a problem? At some point, Brad Stevens has to talk to him and say, look, I get it. You're frustrated. And he's well within his rights to be frustrated. And I don't want to make this sound like one of those, you're the player, you sit down and do what the coach says, and you have no right to talk. Like, anybody who had that hot take today, which I'm sure was happening on the radio from time to time, that's wrong. This isn't CYO, high school, college, and that dynamic. An NBA player has the right to say something, but say something to the coach privately, and not, you shouldn't be putting it out in the media like this. And it's happened enough where I feel like it's up to Brad to, and we'll never know if he did this really, unless Isaiah spills the beans. It's up to Brad to say, look, I get it that you're frustrated, but enough is enough with taking this to the media, because that just opens up distractions that we don't want. And the next time is going to be the last time, or this is going to be the last time. And the team should probably start fining guys for saying this stuff to the media. Like, there has to be a line where you say, bring your frustration to me. If you feel like you're frustrated, then don't talk to the media. You know, we'll tell Jeff Twiss not to put you out there. We'll have to put somebody else out there, and you can go vent in the back.
Well, here's the thing, and I think, first of all, I want to state that Brad Stevens, like, with Horford and Jarebko both out, he was, like, those lineups, yeah, they were experiments, and yes, they weren't his best decisions, I think, and the results bore that out, but it was also, with those two guys out, it was, like really tough to keep big guys on.
Sure.
Especially Kelly Olynyk hasn't played particularly well lately. Tyler Zeller, since getting sick, has been pretty harsh. And Amir Johnson, if you want to stretch someone out, is not the best option. So Brad was put in a tough position as far as the lineups go. I will say this about him, too. What he's really good at, and among the long list of things he's really good at, is making sure that things don't become bigger issues than they are. And Isaiah Thomas saying this stuff, yeah, it's like it's neat to talk about. It's something that he probably wishes he had kept to himself. It's something that has popped up from time to time. You know, he said something after the Warriors game where he thought the coaching staff had quit. Now, you know, a couple months later, he says this. Jay Crowder has said a couple things over the last couple of years too. But Brad is really good at talking to those guys and refusing to blow something up. Like, this is something that, it's a really small thing, but it's a small thing that I think can help to splinter a team, a locker room, a relationship between a player and a coach, if you react to it poorly. And I do think Brad Stevens is really good at not reacting to stuff poorly. Like, he'll be really level-headed about this. He knows Isaiah's just frustrated. He probably knows, shit, I didn't do the best job of creating the rotation. I probably drove him to become as frustrated as he is. So he'll call Isaiah into his locker. He probably has already talked to him. He probably talked to him on the team plane, you know, minutes after the game, after seeing tweets about Isaiah Thomas's comments. And it's probably like he squashes issues like this really quickly. I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think inside their locker room it will be a major distraction or a major deal. I do think it's something that could have been avoided, whether by Stevens making better lineup choices or the players playing better or Isaiah Thomas just not deciding to voice that particular frustration to the media. So, and I saw some stuff about Isaiah Thomas not being accountable. Isaiah Thomas is very accountable. When he doesn't play a good game, he says it. When he has too many turnovers, he says it. Like, he has gone out of his way to credit Brad Stevens for his success. He has gone out of his way to credit Al Horford for opening things up for him, his other teammates for the improvements they've made that have helped him out. Like, this is not something where he believes he is better than everybody. Well, he probably does believe he's better than everybody else. But it's not something where it's like he has this huge ego and that's where this is coming from. No. Like, He holds himself accountable, and in this case, he held Brad Stevens accountable, And I do think he was right about the qualms, but it's just the way he voiced it just shouldn't have happened.
That's the big thing. And this is, I'm not trying to make this a bigger deal than it is. I don't think it's a huge deal. The problem is, though, that it happens multiple times. And when it happens a few times a season, like, by now, this can't happen again. If it happens again, then the stories come out like, well, do the Celtics have a problem in the locker room? Does Brad Stevens have a hold of this team? Like, this is the breaking point to me. And
I will say, like, in the next question or two questions later, he said, Brad's really smart guy, and usually he does a great job with the rotations. Like, this isn't a huge problem. It was just a one-night issue.
I totally understand that. I totally understand it. I'm talking about perception. I'm talking about optics. I'm talking about just for the overall feel in the mainstream media when it comes, like, you and I know, like, there's no difference in the relationship between Brad Stevens and Isaiah Thomas today than there was last week, you know, before the All-Star game or any of that. But what we don't need is members of the media, especially members of the media who aren't normally around the locker room. Like, I'm not expecting a Bull Pett or Himmelsbach to start running with these storylines, but you never know when a Shaughnessy is going to start, you know, roaming around and start asking these questions, because, and he started to, he was on TV today or on the radio today talking about that. Like, once you get the Shaughnessys of the world involved, now you're starting, like, the professional trolls are out. And that's what we don't need. Like, we just don't need to have that swirling around. And that's just a simple little thing where Brad and Isaiah, like, Brad just needs to sit with Isaiah and say, look, I get it. I'm sure Brad Stevens would probably sit there and be like, I probably should have called a timeout. There was a stretch there where that lineup was getting decimated, and he wasn't calling a timeout. He wasn't stopping the flow. He wasn't doing anything and just letting it happen. And that's where we all had our frustration. But after the game, that needs that one line about the coaching, just it needs to be said privately. That's all. And it's not that Isaiah was totally wrong about it, but Brad Stevens is really, really good at not throwing his guys under the bus. No matter what Isaiah did or whatever, Brad Stevens is really, really good about taking the blame for losses and spreading around the credit for wins. And I think just out of a courtesy, even though he's probably taking hits for things that aren't his fault, Brad Stevens, I think Isaiah needs to kind of recognize that sometimes and just say, all right, look, in that situation, coach will cover for me. I'll cover for coach, and we'll just say the right things. Give the canned stock answer that a lot of us don't like. We don't need this ancillary crap.
I want him to keep being honest, man. From my perspective, it's great. Give me more stories, Isaiah. Just be honest with me, man.
I just don't think this level of just this thing with the coaching. I don't know. It just that part. I mean, it just seems a little much, and that's all. It's not a big deal. He didn't say Brad sucks. You're right. He said afterwards, like, Brad's great and all this other stuff. And even on the Bill Simmons podcast, where he's talking about how awesome Brad is, and the All-Star game pregame speech that he gave, and how much all the players loved it. There's no doubt that he's called Brad Stevens the best coach he's ever had. So it's not that we think that there's any animosity, but it's just that one little thing that we just don't need the repeated frustrations about the coaching.
Like, that. Look, if you play 82 games and you're playing games every other night, you're losing 24 losses now they have. Like, you're going to get frustrated at some points. And at some level, like, you have to expect some of this during the season. I don't think it's a huge deal. I think anyone who thinks it's a huge deal is overreacting.
You know what?
I do think it's a headache that could have been avoided. And that's it.
You know what I think made it worse? If they didn't lose to Phoenix the way they did, than because it was Isaiah. I know they gave the turnover to Jay Crowder, yeah. but it was Isaiah missed the free throw. Isaiah let the ball go through his hands, and they lost that just gut punch of a game. If that game didn't happen, then a lot of people wouldn't have had the, wait a minute, Isaiah, didn't you just blow a game yourself? So you should just shut up about the coaching. I think that was a dynamic that was going on today as well.
To be fair, he had 14 points in the fourth quarter of that game. So it's
sure, but you know,
he blew it.
You sure.
Know, it's like, so there's just a lot of layers to this.
There's always a lot of layers to all of this stuff.
Yep. So not a huge deal, but definitely. And I wouldn't be surprised if it happens again. This is kind of what the Celtics do. It's like every once in a while, Jay Crowder says something or Isaiah Thomas says something. And then Brad Stevens handles it perfectly and it goes away. And it's, I mean, by the end of the season, I still think they're the heavy favorite to land the number two seed, given the schedule that they have moving forward after Golden State and Denver to finish out the road trip. Mm-hmm. And people will forget all about this by the end of the season. But right now, in the middle of it, it just feels like a somewhat big deal. And that's how the season goes. The season is up. The season is down. 1 second, you're beating Cleveland, and everyone wonders if you can give them a run in the Eastern Conference. The next, you're kicking away games against Phoenix and L.A., and everything seems like it's horrible. So
right.
The NBA season is just a fascinating, entertaining beast, and I would not switch my job for anything, man. I love this crap.
Isaiah Thomas did admit, again, on that Bill Simmons podcast, that he's playing with a bigger chip on his shoulder, and he's a little more frustrated. He's got a little more edge at this point in the season than he did in the beginning of the season, which he attributed to, he said flat out, quote, "I'm sick of the doubt." So he's at this point, I think he hears all the things that people are saying. He hears the talk about his defense. He hears everything. And he's at a breaking point. Not a breaking point, but he's at a point now where he's playing with much more of an edge. You can see it. He's reacting more to things. He also admitted that he sees that teams are playing him harder. They're bumping him more. They're putting him on the ground more. So a lot of this is happening at the same time that Isaiah is frustrated with the physical play, and he's trying to adjust to that. He's got a little bit more of an edge about everything that's going around him, and he's probably pissed off. And yeah, as much as he's pissed off at what that we were all pissed off about at the end of the third quarter, probably pissed off a little bit about at himself too. Probably a little bit for the end of that Phoenix game and for not being able to pull a comeback against the Clippers. So big, crazy dynamics. Look, Jay, you've been traveling like crazy. I know your flight was delayed again.
Yeah,
so
I'm coming to you guys from Tim Bontemps' apartment. Washington Post writer Tim Bontemps. I gotta like hit his. People have to tweet Tim Bontemps, man. His apartment is a mess. This man I'm in his. So right now it's me and Adam Himmelsbach at his house, just coming to meet up with him. We haven't seen him in a while. And they're outside in the living room. I'm in the bathroom to record, or the bedroom to record this podcast. And he has an empty roll of toilet paper on his bed. His bed, people. So please tweet Tim Bontemps.
I got to tell you
what the hell's going on.
Now I'm
going
to call you out a little bit because there is no off the record with you. There is none when it comes to the little things, like you put me on blast a few podcasts ago when I did the big like dramatic clear my throat. You're like, ah, screw that. I'm putting that in the beginning of the show.
That was a good one.
And then you just called out Bontemps for just being like, what, traveling and having a messy apartment?
The apartment's really not that bad, but I'm gassing that completely. But
you're sharing texts, our texts with the public, yeah. Although I did have that was a good text.
Empty roll of toilet paper on his bed. So people have to tweet
hilarious.
That. Tweet that to him.
All right. Go hang out with the guys. You've been going crazy and flights have not been going your way. So that'll wrap up this portion of the show. There's more to talk about, though, with Al Horford, the injuries, a little bit more on the injury talk.
Against Golden State, hopefully.
Let's hope. But I talk about a lot more of this with Rich Kimball on The Pulse in Maine. I'm on his show regularly on Tuesday afternoons at 4:30 in Bangor, Maine. So if you can't tune in, we share it on my Twitter, on his Twitter. Rich Kimble is at Downtown Rich K. But I'll add that here to round out the podcast. Thanks for listening. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Yeah, Jay King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics, Millie's.
Next up on Downtown, it's time to talk Celtics, our weekly visit with John Corrales of RedsArmy.com and the Locked On Celtics podcast, here to make us feel better about what we've been watching over the last couple of games, right?
Oh, really? That's what I'm supposed to do? Okay, let's give it a shot.
Yeah, well, good luck with last night, because that thing was just about seven kinds of ugly.
Yeah, well, they played so well in the first half, and it's just like I've been saying for the whole season on this show, is when they're not at full strength, they're not really that great. And they haven't been at full strength for this road trip. Once again, you have, well, they had the big blowout win against the Lakers, which was nice, but then Al Horford hurts his elbow in that, and they sit down Avery Bradley for the Phoenix game. And next thing you know, that blows up in their face. And then last night, at the end of the third quarter, where the Celtics had the game in control for a solid 60% of the game, Brad Stevens throws out this inexplicable lineup, trying to figure out a way to just get through the last few minutes of that third quarter, and it all just falls apart. And you just can't have Jordan Mickey and James Young and Terry Rozier out there on the floor trying to contain Blake Griffin and Chris Paul and a very good Clippers team. That thing went from 13 points up to down big in a very, very quick hurry. So they need to be at full strength to be the quote-unquote Celtics that are the fifth best team in the NBA.
Yeah, after the game, Isaiah Thomas pretty frustrated with things. He had 32 points and a good night, but he was even questioning some of those lineups that were out there. But the guy, you know, Brad Stevens has limited guys to throw out there and had to put some interesting lineups together. But was there a way around that?
Well, I can see both sides. I really can. Isaiah Thomas frustrated because you had the Clippers, who are a good team who is getting healthy. You had them, you had an opportunity to bounce back from that crushing Phoenix loss to beat the Clippers. And that was an opportunity there that he probably feels like was lost. And I'm sure he feels like he wanted to play a lot more, but on a back-to-back, you have to keep these guys healthy and you have to keep them ready for the long term. And that's something that the Celtics are going to stick to discipline-wise. So I can see why Brad Stevens was just trying to get anything. Look, these guys are on an NBA roster. They're supposed to be NBA players. You have to be able to contribute more than what they've contributed over that stretch there, as bad a lineup as that was. And, man, it was horrible. I do have questions about Brad Stevens keep staying with it for that long or not calling timeouts to kind of reset things and stop the momentum. So I can feel Isaiah Thomas's frustration, but I can also understand that without Jarebko and without Horford, two major, major pieces to this puzzle, why he has to come up with another way. And you shouldn't have to worry about 5 minutes of Jordan Mickey completely throwing off the entire game when you're up 13. But here we are. And there's a lot of frustration in that locker room. We've seen it over the course of the season, too. Frustrating losses. Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder, the two main guys, are going to step up and say something to the media afterwards.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. You mentioned Al Horford, the elbow now. Of course, he had the concussion early in the season. Is there any concern that he's one of those guys who finds a way to get hurt more often than you'd like?
No, I think it's just a couple of weird things. You know, you get elbowed in the head, that's going to happen. Sometimes you get elbowed in the head and it's nothing, and sometimes it happens and you end up a concussion for 4 weeks. That's a one-off. An elbow injury like that, what are you going to do? Like, these things happen. I don't want to hold that stuff against him. It's not like it's a chronic knee, back, shoulder thing. You know what I mean? Like, that stuff, it happens. And so If you're going to ask the guy to bang, he's a big, he's going to go in there. Every once in a while, your arm's going to get caught, your leg's going to get caught. You're going to do something. So I'm not worried about him being – I've seen the criticism, but I think this team, again, long-term, they're looking to make sure this guy stays healthy. They've got him on a long contract. They don't want to do something stupid now in a season that they're not really focused on winning a championship. I think they're trying to make sure that he's going to be healthy long-term. That's the whole thing with this season, long-term. So they're being super cautious with him.
Sometimes, John, the best moves you make are the ones you don't make, and not that it would have happened with the Celtics, but I'm not sure Cleveland is feeling good about the Andrew Bogut experience now.
Oof, man, I mean, talk about bad luck. I mean, here's a guy who's broken a bone for the fourth time in the past few years. So I think he's pretty much done. The Celtics, I guess, I want to say dodge the bullet. I don't want to, you know, stomp on a guy when he's hurt, but that's a tough, tough break, no pun intended, for the Cavs. He's a guy that they were counting on to kind of shore things up. They'll have to go in a different direction. It's just amazing. I mean, he 58 seconds or so into his career as a Cav, and that happened. So he is a guy that you have to look at as, at this point, very injury prone, where even the slightest nick or bump could put him out for a while. So I know his agent had talked about it was between Boston and the Cavaliers, and we want to revisit that over the summer. I'm good with not revisiting that over the summer. I think Andrew can get healthy and maybe find somebody else, but I'm not comfortable giving him any amount of money to play for the Celtics next year.
Cleveland, of course, dealing with the absence of Kevin Love and a lot of injuries around the league, and suddenly it may be the hottest team in the East are those Washington Wizards. What's going on there?
Well, you know, they've gotten a lot of contributions from guys who in the past were disappointing. Again, back in the injury thing, Bradley Beal, who has been kind of disappointing due to missing so much time. And last year I was looking to him to kind of do the stuff this year and be a most improved player type of candidate. He's healthy. He's contributing in a big way. Otto Porter, who was very disappointing over the course of time, now contributing in a very big way. And, of course, you've got your usual John Wall's playing at an amazing level. I mean, people are calling him potentially the best point guard in the league, up there with Kyrie Irving and, of course, Isaiah Thomas. But they're getting contributions from a lot of guys, and they're coming together, and they got this momentum going. They're really riding this wave. They've got a tough stretch coming up, and I think there's a possibility for that to kind of slow down a bit. So the Celtics just have to hold on to kind of hold them off. But they're charging pretty hard, and they're a dangerous team.
Well, the Celtics will try and right the ship tomorrow against the Golden State Warriors, who, of course, dealing with a pretty big injury of their own.
Yeah, but they're still the Warriors. So hopefully Al Horford can come back. Look, the Celtics have shown the ability to play with the big guns. They'll go out there against Cleveland, who obviously didn't have Love. Yes, the Warriors don't have Durant. That's going to be a situation where the bench has to really step up. And having Horford back is going to put guys on the bench that have been contributing as starters. So that's the real trickle effect. You can elevate certain guys. You can put Jaylen Brown in the starting lineup. You can put Marcus Smart in the starting lineup. That'll work, but what that does is it decimates your bench. The Warriors have given up a lot of their depth to go with that megastar front-loaded starting lineup. So with Durant out and they're starting Iguodala, they're thinner, they're susceptible to some size, so you just keep going at them if they're healthy, if the Celtics are healthy, keep going at them and keep pushing the pace. Don't worry about that. Just and hopefully the bench, hopefully Olynyk and Smart off the bench and Jaylen Brown off the bench can continue doing what they do and pushing a lead, if they have a lead, up in the second quarter, and hopefully holding off the Warriors at home. They're susceptible, but it's still, you know, still the Warriors. So,
he's our Celtics guy. Every Tuesday afternoon, John Corrales, RedsArmy.com and the Locked On Celtics podcast. John, as always, thanks for being with us. Enjoy the game tomorrow night. We'll check in again next week.
I'll do my best. Thanks.